Hello.
Yes, for 1 week only, I've seized control of the Totally Football League show, and not a moment too soon by the looks of things. Look at this. Look at the state of this place. I'll leave you alone for 4 months. The studio's full of Haribos, and apparently we're not doing pre-show cocktails anymore. God, I miss you, Matt Stenger. Yes, there is no Caroline Barker this week. As you doubtless heard on the news this morning, she's been subpoenaed in the ongoing investigation into possible collusion between the Russian government and the Trump administration. Obviously, everyone at Muddy Knees Media sends their very best to Caroline at this difficult time. We urge her to plea bargain her way out of this. Sell them out, Kaz. Right, who is here then? Let's bring in the team and the whole of this manipulated for our heavy metal pleasure. Hit it. Into the booth we go, where we find our AC, who's thunderstruck as always, it's Adrian Clark.
Good morning.
To the left, the DC, he'll always shoot to thrill, David Connolly.
Good morning.
And living easy, living free with a season ticket on a one-way ride down the highway to hell, it's Joe Crilly of William Hill.
Hello.
I was always more of an Iron Maiden man myself.
Good for you.
Yeah. I don't want to actively encourage anyone to switch off, though I reckon we probably lost 20% of the audience for that first hello. But after the show, listen to Phantom of the Opera by Iron Maiden. Off their first album, still turns the test of time. Should we move on and talk about some football rather than heavy metal?
All I've got is Def Leppard. That's all I've got.
That barely even counts. We really should move on. To the Championship, Derby losing to Rotherham. Now, look, we could talk about the penalty. We could talk about the Tom Lawrence dismissal. We could talk about Frank Lampard getting sent off. But stop. Miller's time. Let's talk about them, because I remember when Rotherham were last in the second division, Clarkie, and it didn't go like this.
No, it really didn't. No, they've come an awful long way since a young AC made one start on a doomed loan spell at Millmore back in 1996. Yeah, probably one of the worst loan spells in the history of the EFL. But let's not dwell on that too much. They have come a long way. And I tell you what, even though they've moved from Millmore into New York Stadium, it's becoming a fortress, isn't it? I mean, the home form is terrific, and they're just nasty to play against. They're not easy opponents at all. They'll get in your face, they'll rough you up, and they will create carnage from crosses, from dead ball situations, from long throws. They're a little bit like Millwall, aren't they, Rotherham, in terms of they know their limitations, they play to their strengths, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. And from what I gather, they bullied Derby, and they won't be the first team that are bullied by Rotherham this year.
Yeah, they've got that big lad up front, Michael Smith, big Geordie lad, breed him tough on Wolves End. They were really just smashing into Derby. And David, this is something I think we've seen over the course of the season. Derby desperately sort of trying to play the game at their own tempo, playing out the back. But teams like Rotherham, you know, if they're up for it, and they were up for it, they can get at them.
Absolutely, and I think also what they have at the back is Richard Wood, who I know. I did a course with Richard. He's a great lad, obviously pivotal in terms of them going up. And look, they don't score many goals, so they basically nick a couple, and that puts an awful lot of pressure on your defence. And at the minute, it's coping. You know, I guess long term for them, it might be, are they going to score enough goals, beating Mill by the odd goal, Ipswich as well. Two teams not in great form. So I think, although they're doing well, I think they will have tougher times to follow. Contrast that obviously with Derby, who I have seen against live against the likes of Millwall, who did rough them up. They try to play the right way, or a way. It doesn't mean it's the right way, but against certain teams, they have found it tough. And I think Frank's changed a little bit in terms of when you look at him on the sideline. In some games, I've seen him and he's been very quiet, and say teams are wasting time at Millwall, for example. The ball was out an awful lot, and because he's new to it, you think a more experienced manager might be getting onto the fourth official like they're wasting time. And I just think Frank has learned from that, and he's trying to get into four officials now. Whether he's overstepped the mark a little bit here, I don't know. But I just wonder whether he's, you know, realises nice guy doesn't always come first. Maybe sometimes they do come second. Or
Clarky, is this what's happened? Is it? Do you reckon he's trying to sort of show, I'm manager now, a bit of passion, getting the four officials here, and he's gone too far?
Maybe it could be that he's just getting stressed out. And we know that being a manager will drive you to distraction, don't you? He's probably not getting a lot of sleep at the moment. He's probably little things are beginning to get to him. I'm sure it's not easy. It's an all-consuming job. He's gone from being a player, from being a senior player, he's gone to being a pundit, a very good pundit, but that's easy. That's what we do. I mean, you're not going to lose any sleep being a pundit. But it's now 24/7. You know, his wife's having a baby. It's a stressful period for him and the family. And yeah, maybe it just pushed him over the edge at the weekend. I still think ultimately he'll be quite a calm manager, and I actually think he'll be beating himself up a little bit for getting red carded. On the flip side, Paul Warren, let's give him a bit of credit. I think he's not just an up and atom manager. He's a great motivator, but I've noticed that he's used 4 different systems already this season, Rotherham. So they will mix things up and adapt to their opponents accordingly. So he's definitely a young manager on the rise. I think Frank would be fine, wouldn't he?
I'll tell you what, if he wants to look to a manager for inspiration of how things can change, how things can click, Lee Johnson at Bristol City, who wasn't particularly popular, had a very good start to last season, didn't follow through. They're having a very good start to this season, aren't they? 1-0 winners over Sheffield United.
I rate him really highly. This is a guy that, like you say, most clubs would have sacked him when Bristol City were having an absolute stinker a couple of years ago. But he's a terrific thinker. He's adaptable, isn't he? I've always liked his bravery. He will just rip things up and start again if it's not working, or in pursuit of a victory. He won't worry about making 3 changes, changes the system, boom. In this particular win over Sheffield United, on the back of beating Blackburn 4-1, he changed it to 3-5-2, which I don't think went down particularly well with the supporters. And during the game, even though it was working all right, he then changed it again to 4-4-2, and it got them the goal towards the end of the game. So well done to Lee Johnson. There's a couple of other things that caught my eye. He said he'd changed the plans over the international break. Now, international breaks are weird for Championship clubs because some of the players are away, but a lot aren't. And you don't know when to train, how many days to give off. Last year, they were shocking after international breaks. And what they did, they trained, and then they had a long weekend off, and then they trained again. So this time, they stopped doing that. They had 4 or 5 days off, and then they trained right through from the weekend before up until this game, and it worked. So again, he's always thinking about the little things. And I think sometimes having a weekend off, David will tell you that having a weekend off, players can maybe be more tempted to go out and have a bit of fun, I would suggest, during the international break.
There is a
break.
Glint in your eyes, Adrian Clark.
Well, yeah, there is, but I'm sure that David might have done this. Although you were an international player, so you were probably always away, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't that much break time, but I think for say Lee at Bristol, I know that last season, you know, they tailed off, and I think there was reasons behind that. Obviously, the cup runs had a big impact on that. And actually, when there was opportunity to give the lads time away, they went away as a club. And I'm not sure that was the right thing to do. If you ask a lot of players, when you're with your teammates 24/7 on a long season, actually, you might just want some time away from them. And I don't think that's a bad thing. So Lee is always, I think, he's constantly evolving his managerial style and learning, as you have to. Yeah, they did change at the weekend. Didu was back, who's massive for them, to sell, I think it was 27, 28 million, and only spend around 7 yeah. or 8, and bring in loanees. Obviously, Webster was a big signing to replace Flint. But other than that, you got to say, in terms of using the market and the loan market, Callas, for example, you know, he's done it really, really well.
Terrific signing, Callas. On that, spending too much time in one of those pockets, there is breaking news. They've decided not to go home after Tuesday night's game against West Bromwich Albion. So they're travelling to West Brom, which isn't a long journey, really, from Bristol to the West Midlands. But they're going to stay over and then travel up north and train in the northwest at the Cliff ahead of Friday night's game at Wigan. Called it an NBA-style road trip. So let's hope they're not hating one another by the end of this road trip. Let's hope that it's brought them closer together rather than further apart.
Down at the bottom, massive result for Reading. Do you know when Paul Clement's last league win as Reading manager was before Saturday? It was in April. I'll spare you the time wondering. He hadn't won any of his past 13 away matches as manager. In fact, his last win on the road was against Reading as a Swansea manager in the League Cup in 2017. But there you go. Preston North End 2, Reading 3. And a lot of positives here, Clark. A cracking second goal. The link-up between Swift and Aluko is lovely. And then Bakuna does that thing that Bakuna does about once every 20 games, where he looks absolutely world-class. 60-yard lung-busting run in the 81st minute. Everything you could ever want from a midfielder.
Don't be duped.
Why doesn't this happen more often?
Because he's not world-class. he's okay, isn't he, Bakuna? Takes a mean free kick, though. We saw that, didn't we, during his time at Aston Villa. But no, they needed this big time, didn't they? What a what a huge week it could be actually for Clement and for Reading, because on the back of that, it's a terrific win, isn't it, at Preston, and they've got a couple of home games against Norwich and Hull to come. So you'd look at it and think, is this the week that saves him his job? Is this the week that Reading get themselves into gear? Very, very impressed. They played with a good energy at the weekend. And when you're at the bottom, often you see teams going away from home trying to shut up shop. They didn't do that.
Good news for them. Bad news for Preston, though. Now, last season, we got a lot of complaints from Preston fans that we weren't talking about them often enough. I always used to write back and say, look, the problem is, if you're in the middle of the table, if you're not pushing for promotion, you're not in danger of relegation, you're probably going to get spoken about less. I've got a horrible feeling, David Connolly, we're going to be speaking about Preston quite a bit this season.
I beg to differ. I think that, you know, Alex Neil has done a terrific job there. And if you'd have saw them last season, they are one of the most hardworking, diligent, dogged teams. I think Ben Pearson is hugely important for them. He's had so many red cards. It has a massive impact on them when he doesn't play. Obviously, Hugo left as well. I think they would have been playoff contenders, you know, right up there if he'd have stayed. I just think he's always climbing a mountain there, Alex Neil, but he's done a great job. I just feel that at some point, Reading had to make a turnaround. Look, he tried to play out and played a beautiful game last season, you know, following Yapstam. It didn't work. You saw at the start of this season, he's abandoned that and gone, you know what, don't worry about us playing out from the back and being beautiful. We need to get results. Finally, they've got one when it looked like they were never going to get a good result. And I'm sure now, give him a little bit of confidence. Going away from home to Deepdale and coming away with 3 points, that is a massive look. They'll be back on the bus afterwards, thrilled, delighted with that. And they've got talented boys. They really have, the likes of Swift, Aluko. They're coveted players. So, you know, I feel they've got enough within their ranks. Just defensively, they've had so many different partnerships at the back. He just can't get it right. And O'Shea's come in. He's at the back on the bench. McShane as well on the bench. He just can't get that solidity, which I think is really important for them.
All right. Brentford, second in the table, 2-0 victors against Wigan. And the first goal they scored at the weekend, did you say it was like three quick-fire first-time passes and then a first-time finish? They are race-tuned.
Yeah, Ben Rama, it was, wasn't it, that made the goal? He's come in for Kanyos at the moment. And yeah, they've got so much talent in forward areas, haven't they, Brentford? Got some stats for you. Love a stat. Neil Maupay, okay? This is the best tap-in merchant in world football at the moment, Neil Maupay. Right, 7 goals, 3 assists, fantastic. 16 of his 18 shots so far this season have been on target. That's because most of them have been from sort of 8 yards or under. And wait for this, 58 minutes per goal so far this season. Head and shoulders blows the rest of the championship out of the water. So, I mean, you've seen a lot of him, David. I mean, you were a striker, you know, some repute. So he knows how to be in the right place, this boy, doesn't he?
David, you were actually there, weren't you? Because you're the scout for Bristol City.
That's
so
right,
what do you make of this Neo Lineker?
Well, funnily enough, I think he should have well over double figures, because all the games I've seen, he's missed so many one-on-ones. I mean, they dominate the ball really well. They find him ever so well. And prior to the winger receiving that pass, you didn't actually see all the good work Josh McEachran done. And he was exceptional. And his form actually has allowed them to actually sell Ryan Woods, who to me was one of the best championship midfielders. So he's a player who actually many people thought was spent, a spent force. And he was sensational at the weekend, so comfortable on the ball. He made that little bit of that diagonal pass by doing a great bit of skill in the middle of the park. And when you've got someone with that vision who can pick you out, plus you've got Watkins out wide, they've got pace everywhere. I feel Maupay, he will probably get 15, 20 goals, but actually by now he should already be over 10.
I tell you what, talking of Woods, who obviously moved to Stoke, Stoke blew a 2-goal lead. They've still only won one game all season. What's going on there?
Well, the worst defensive record. It's obviously not what Gary Rowett was hoping for. I'm sure that there's some adjustment, I think, when you come down, but he just can't find a winning formula. And against Sheffield Wednesday, who I've seen live, they're a good side, let me tell you. Barry Bannon is arguably one of the best players I've seen in the Championship this season. He's exceptional. So I don't think anyone thought that they would maybe come away with a result there, because that's a tricky place to go and they've got some talented boys. But yeah, it's a lot of work to do there for. He's another manager, I guess, in the Championship, a bit like maybe Paul Hurst at Ipswich, under a little bit of pressure.
Well, then that's exactly who we're going to talk about, because Ipswich are bottom, beaten 2-0 by Hull. Interesting piece written by Chris Dunlavy in the Football League paper. Buy it, it's really good value. He said, this was about a week ago, on balance, fans remain optimistic, and it's a measure of their disillusionment with Mick McCarthy that the majority are happier at the bottom of the table playing positively than being in the middle playing pragmatically.
Oh, my goodness. So it's still Mick's fault, right? come on. Look, I wonder if Mick's having a wry smile at the predicament at the moment. Ipswich fans have had literally nothing to cheer about this season. They've been ahead in games, right? How many games are we into this season?
Seven
games. They've been ahead for a grand total of 29 minutes, which is it's a lot of misery and a lot of frustration for the supporters. They just can't score goals at the moment. None of the strikers are firing. And you do look, and you look at the manager as well. He's making some strange decisions. I was really surprised that he dropped the keeper, Bielkowski, who I thought was a brilliant for them last year.
He's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. He was a beast, wasn't he? A man mountain. Had a couple of iffy games. Boom, he's out. And Gherkin's in. I think he's feeling the pressure. And he did. I think he talked in the week and said, look, I'm not discounting the possibility that they're thinking of getting rid of me. Pretty much said that.
Well, David, one of the problems that can emerge in management is that managers who've been brilliant at certain levels rise up to a point where, you know, the tricks and the touches that work so well for them no longer work. Is there a danger that this could happen?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, it's a big call to leave out Bartosz Kowski. He was at Southampton with me. I think he's a great lad. He's done really well for himself. You know, that's a big call. And another big call is bringing in players maybe from the division, you know, and making that step up to Ipswich, which is, you know, it's a big club of high expectation. Those fans are used to a certain sort of style of play, although they might maybe not have had it under Mick. He still did really well, though, I feel, in very, very challenging circumstances. If it had the money, for example, Roy Keane had, who knows what he might have done. As it is, Paul Hurst, I think he is struggling to adjust. There are expectations there. And the fans, I've heard, look, they're doing well in training, but they can't bring it into a game. And that's always a really worrying sign. If things are going well in training, but actually get to the games and it's still not going right.
Do you think it's possible to believe that Mick McCarthy was doing a decent job and yet it was also time for a change? I mean, it's always one thing to sort of see it from here and another thing to see it when you're spending a few hundred quid on a season ticket every year.
Well, I think that Mick probably concedes himself that he'd been there a long time and maybe Mick had gone stale, and he's someone I know well, and I just feel he might have needed a change as well. I don't think he could have done much more with what he had. I really don't. Anytime they unearthed a player, they'd have to sell him, you know, and he was left with, you know, just trying to perform miracles in the sort of, they had Mings, for example, they sold for big money, they got for nothing. I mean, the list is endless. So I think it's a difficult job.
All right. We thought Norwich would be in for a difficult season, and they popped up and beat Middlesbrough 1-0, which is a fantastic result. I was quite surprised to see Middlesbrough still playing five at the back away at Norwich. It's one of the best, one of the highest funded teams in the division. No disrespect to Norwich, but I thought they might have gone for it a bit more there.
But five at the back doesn't necessarily mean you're defensive. You could, five can mean three. I don't think we should qualify that as being defensive. But Tony Pulis isn't an adventurous manager, is he? He will look to play on the counter, use the pace of the front two, Asamoah Longa and Braithwaite. But yeah, no, bad day at the office for Borough. But look, they had gone over 9 hours without conceding, so they're doing plenty right.
Finally, Leeds United, very, very nearly beaten for the first time this season by Millwall. That would have gone down well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I saw it was a long throw from Ryan Leonard, somebody that we would know and admire from his Southend days. He has got some throw on him, Ryan Leonard. Didn't work out well, hasn't really worked out for him at Sheffield United. He's at Millwall. They came very close to causing a big upset against a depleted Leeds team. Great goal, though, I thought, from Jack Harrison, who's a name to look out for, I think.
All right, let's wrap up with Joey Crilliam from William Hilliam.
I've not heard that name in a while.
I've
missed it.
Vintage retro episode. Let's look back at some of the stuff we've discussed. Brentford and their odds to win outright promotion.
Yeah, believe it or not, Brentford have actually leapfrogged Leeds in the betting.
What?
So Brentford are now favourites to win the title at 7-2 with Leeds 9-2. And if you go to the promotion, they're obviously the two favourites to gain promotion. But Brentford 11-8, Leeds 6-4.
I'm stunned at that. The hipsters in charge over at William Hill. I mean, this is... but they are a very, very good team.
Yeah. All right, Reading to survive.
We think they might just. They are fourth favourites to go down behind Bolton, Rotherham and Ipswich, bizarrely.
All right, and to finish off, Ipswich to survive.
Well, they're 11-8 to go down, so still just about odds on to survive.
Thank you very much, Joe Crilly from William Hill. When we come back,
League One.
You're listening to the Totally Football League Show in association with William Hill. For all the latest odds in the footballing world, check out williamhill.com or download the app. And if you don't spot something you fancy, why not tweet at William Hill using the hashtag YourOdds for your very own personalised bet. 18 plus only, begambleaware.org, and when the fun stops, stop.
Founded in 1876 by an unlikely consortium of candlestick makers and disenchanted Jesuit ministers. Nope, fine. Right, I'll make my own football history podcast elsewhere. League One. What a lot of things are going on. Mayhem and carnage, says Blackpool boss Terry McPhillips. Two of his own players getting sent off in their 1-0 win at Plymouth. And that heated head-to-head about as rare as an Ian Henderson hat-trick. Veteran striker whose first senior hat-trick in Rochdale's 3-0 triumph over Gillingham. Gillingham are now 5 defeats from their last 6 games. CGD chirps up on Twitter, says, please can you stop shining Steve Evans's backside and give Portsmouth some well-deserved attention on the show this week? That is probably the most hideous image that I've ever had. I mean, that more than anything else, that's a lot of ground to cover. And that is a very sizable bottom.
Too much. It disgusts me.
All the chamois leathers in the world. Also on Twitter, Josh says, can we get some love for Pompey this week after a huge victory on Saturday against Steve Evans's Peterborough? He's happy to contribute if needed. Josh, contribute. So, Josh, last season under Kenny Jackett, Portsmouth, kind of nondescript, never really threatening very much. This season, totally different story. What's changed?
I'd have to say the summer recruitment. I mean, we went about our business very quietly and we brought in players who, some of them aren't that appealing on paper, but they're solid, experienced players who have sort of let our flair players release the shackles. So you've got McGivern in goal, who couldn't get ahead of Dean Henderson at Shrewsbury, but has made a huge difference. Tom Naylor from Burton, absolutely brilliant so far in midfield. And it releases the likes of Jamal Lowe, who, in my opinion, is a Championship winger, even potentially Premier League winger in the waiting. Just gives him that much more freedom. And Ronan Curtis has been an absolute steal from Ireland so far.
Behind the scenes, I mean, it's obviously so much trouble over the past 10 years, but does it feel calmer now? Does it feel like there's a foundation that everyone can build on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Eisners have come in and everything that they've done has been positive. There's not really much negativity around the club anymore, which is in itself is refreshing. But you very much get the sense that the club is on its way back. It's now back on its feet. And every time you go to Fratton Park now, there is a buzz and there's no negativity. So, yeah, it's really positive down there at the moment.
Terrific away following as well. I noticed at London Road, Josh, 2,513 away fans. That I think tells us that you guys are really behind Kenny Jackett and the boys. What's the end goal here? Is it back to the Premier League, or would you be satisfied as supporters if you just got yourself back in the Championship?
I think now we're back on a stable footing. I think that ultimately Championship is the goal. There's a lot that would love to see us back in the Premier League, but we know where we've been before. You don't want to make that mistake again, spending too much money to get there. If we went up this year, which if you asked us at the start of the season, I guarantee you the majority of Pompey fans, if you'd said playoffs, would have been absolutely delighted. But no one would have expected this start at all. But the Championship is really something that we would love to be back, where we would love to be back.
What do you make of the call to replace Pittman with Ollie Hawkins?
I mean, it's a bold one. The good thing about Kenny Jackett is that he makes his decisions. He's quite ruthless, despite not seeming as though he's a ruthless character. He makes his decisions. And when you've got someone of Brett Pittman's quality, 25 goals on the bench, there are a few fans around you that do scratch their heads, that you can hear them moaning about it, especially Ollie Hawkins isn't the most clinical striker. But the way he started the season, he's a new man. He's last season, for a big guy, he wasn't really strong enough. He didn't put himself about a bit. But this season, it's him up front that has allowed the likes of Jamal Lowe and Ronan Curtis to really step up their game and score goals. Because at the end of the day, if Hawkins isn't cutting it, you've got Pittman to come off the bench. But it is a strange decision, but it's certainly paid off so far.
Josh, no team in the division has conceded fewer than Portsmouth. Only one team scored more than Portsmouth. You're still unbeaten 8 games in. You're going up, aren't you?
I don't want to count my chickens too early. let's hope so. Let's hope so. I mean, there's a long, long way to go yet, but it's all starting fantastically. And if we can keep together some of our key players like Jamal O'Mac-Clark, who in my opinion is probably the best centre-half in the league, we keep them in January, then there's no reason as to why we can't be in the Championship next season.
All right, well, best of luck for the rest of the campaign. That's Josh Sweetman there, and you can get your team on the show too by sending us a tweet at The Totally Show.
On Spotify, smart speaker and podcast platforms everywhere, this is The Totally Football League Show from Muddy Knees Media.
All right, well, let's talk about that game then. Peterborough 1, Portsmouth 2. David, what a result.
Yeah, fantastic. You know, I don't think many people, although Pompey are in terrific form, to go to Posh and come away with a victory was an amazing result. Obviously, Ollie Hawkins off the mark, finally gets a goal. He's in there instead of the hitman, Pitman. So, big call there. And great to see Kenny Jackett doing well, former youth team manager. He's gone in and really taken that club on from where Paul Cook left it. He's got front three in really good form, obviously. Hawkins, Jamal Lowe, they signed from Hampton and Richmond, who's found his level. He looks like he's sparkling, he's coming to life. They've got a really good back four. Their goalkeeper has come in and done excellently. They've got Matt Clark at the back. They're just a club that is obviously going places, and brilliant result away from home.
What is it about Kenny Jackett? Because I mean, obviously there have been missteps, Rotherham being one, but you hear so much about him and the effect he has on players. What's it like to work under him?
Yeah, he's very exacting. He doesn't hold any prisoners, you know, and he has really high standards. So you kind of got to go with him on that and buy into what he's doing. And he's not afraid to make tough calls. As I said, you know, he's brought in Hawkins instead of Pittman. And, you know, Brett Pittman scored a lot of goals for him and was excellent for them last season. But, you know, that's the way he wants to go. And he gets a lot out of what he has. And look, he hasn't had a huge amount of money to spend there, and he's just fashioning a really good a team in the image of himself. Really good workmanlike. They work really hard for each other, and look, if you get the fans behind you down there, you've got a real chance.
Over at Peterborough, Clarkey, quite the influx of players in the summer. I mean, let's not be around the bush. They should be favourites to go up, shouldn't they?
Well, with the firepower that they've got, I think they will be there or thereabouts, won't they? They're going to have to be. They probably need to shore up a little bit at the back. They're leaking a few goals, aren't they? But when you've got a front two in the shape of Matt Godden and Jason Cummings, who've scored 13 goals between them, then you know that you're in a pretty good place, because you've got that firepower to hurt teams. On the break, so much pace going forward, Peterborough.
Let's have a look at everything else that happened then. Wimbledon beaten 3-2 at home by Scunthorpe. David, should Wimbledon be worried? They'd started all right, but that's not a good result, is it?
No, I mean, the home form's been disappointing. I don't know if you saw some of the goals, but the first one, the ball's gone straight over Tom King in goal. I do have worries about their goalkeeping situation. I think they really missed George Long, who was on loan from Sheffield United, now gone to Hull. I hope Neil can turn it around. He's lost a lot of goals out of his team in Lyle Taylor, for example. I don't think they've quite replaced them. And obviously, at both ends now, you're looking at replacements for two really big players, and I don't think they've quite got them in a minute.
Clarkey, Burton beat Sunderland again. We know what Sunderland are like. They fold up like a cheap deck chair, don't they? Or don't they?
Well, this season it's been completely different, hasn't it, under Jack Ross? It's been all about the poor starts and the strong finishes, and I think it was probably a matter of time before it caught up with them. Another really lame start to the game. They fall two goals behind this time and they can't retrieve it. I think Sunderland are going to be all right, but look, I don't know whether they need to change their warm-up, their pre-match meal, just something in regards to their preparation for games, because they are terrible in the first 20-25 minutes. Beyond that, they've been outstanding. So yeah, Sunderland, they were favourites at the start of the season. I labelled them weak favourites. I stand by that, but having seen them a few times already, I think they'll be there or thereabouts for sure.
Pre-match music, and they need AC/DC, not Sigur Rós or whatever the hell they're doing. You've got good things to say about Coventry, haven't you? And no wonder, because they beat Barnsley 1-0.
Big time, yeah. I was there for the Checkatrade game against Arsenal, and they played a B team, and they didn't really impress in that game, but I did get the chance to speak to Michael Doyle, who's still their main player, really. He's 37 years of age, a proper old pro, and he was full of praise for the young players at the club. Tom Bayliss, this kid is really outstanding. He can play anywhere in attacking midfield or central midfield. You've got Jordan Shipley, who's excellent. Jordan Willis, who scored at the weekend, at the back. A lot to like about Coventry. We've also got a superb keeper for League One level. I think Lee Burge, who was brilliant last year, is going to be a key man for them this year. They were always going to beat Barnsley. Haven't lost at home to them in 95 years. So I think it was probably not really worth Barnsley turning up for that one. But no, I think Coventry City, even though they're sitting mid-table at the moment, are going to climb the table, especially when Maxime Biamou comes back and when he can form a partnership potentially with Johnson Clark-Harris or the new guy, Connor Chaplin, who came from Pompey.
David, Plymouth making their traditional slow start to the season, beaten at home by Blackpool, but that's really not the story because they had two players sent off for fighting each other. Have you ever come across that as a player?
No, not in matches. No, obviously there have been a few, haven't there? But highly publicised, for example, Bowyer and Dyer, for example. But no, not myself. I fear for Plymouth because they've, you know, gone from having a terrific season last season to this one having a dreadful start. And I just wonder if they can pull themselves out of it. Derek Adams there's got a big job on his hands.
Walsall 1, Doncaster 4. I still haven't forgiven Doncaster for what happened against Southend on day one of the season where we completely outplayed them and were 3-0 down. I really didn't expect Doncaster to be in amongst it as promotion candidates.
No, me neither. It's a big job, isn't it, for the manager who was sort of cast aside by Peterborough. But he's done well. I think he's a smart loan acquisition in Malik Wilkes, who was excellent again at the weekend. Lovely pass, by the way, from Ben Whiteman. Slide rule pass in for Malik Wilkes to score a great goal at the weekend. Now, Donny, I can see them sticking around the playoff picture.
And Luton, good news, beat Bristol Rovers 1-0. Bad news, Eunan O'Kane on loan suffered a broken leg, tibia and fibula. I'm no doctor, but I know that's not good.
Terrible for him, and I think that's a big result for Luton. Nathan Jones, you know, had a terrific season last season. He's found it a little bit tougher going so far, but I think it's a coach and a manager with big ambitions, and I'm sure they'll pick up now, Luton.
Joe from William Hill. We have questions. You have answers in the form of numbers. Sunderland to fail to finish in the top two.
So they're still just a shade of odds on to finish in the top two, but they are even money to miss out on the top two. But despite that, they are still the favourites to win the league at 8-15.
So basically you're hedging on everything, aren't you?
Yes.
Literally anything could happen. Where are Portsmouth going to end up?
If you look at the odds for promotion, they are third favourites. So still the two teams that we were bigging up right at the start of the season, Sunderland and Barnsley, are still odds on for promotion. Portsmouth are third favourites at 5-4, with Peterborough 11-4 fourth.
What about a funky doubleheader between Leeds and Portsmouth, both to win their respective leagues?
And of course, they're both unbeaten, and it is 26.5-1. So quite a big price there. And if you were so inclined to want just the promotion double, it's 9-2.
Seems far safer. When we come back,
League Two.
In the latest edition of the Bradley Wiggins podcast by Eurosport, Sir Brad and the team discuss Simon Yates' historic victory in La Vuelta a España, making a clean sweep for Britain in the Grand Tours.
Had he gone to Sky back when, you know, he got there in a Tour of Britain, I don't think he would have won the Vuelta.
Nah, I don't think. I think a few years ago,
sliding doors moment, whether his career would have gone this path, where he just fell into the kind of
I don't think
working.
He would have, I think it would have been just made into like Chiatto is now, you know, just one of those guys that pulls super hard on the front.
So by nature of the fact that Sky wouldn't take Adam on as well, they come as one package, that he you know, has ended up having a great team, found a great team, and won a Grand Tour at 26.
That's the Bradley Wiggins podcast by Eurosport. Search for it wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now.
Welcome to League Two, the home of the goals. Yeovil Town, shock of the day in the whole EFL, winning 6-0 at second place Newport after someone was gushing about Newport. It's a whole show, all of you last week. I'm so glad that so much has changed, but the curse of the Totally Football League Show remains.
It was mainly Sam and Caroline, I think, if I remember rightly.
Blame them, because one is in a Washington DC prison and the other, where is Sam?
Well, he's eating fancy Italian breakfast.
He's having a lovely time, and he bless him. Anyway, elsewhere, Harry Kuehl, first point for Notts County, 3-3 with Stevenage, 2-0 to the Creepy Crawley over Morecambe, and Colchester are back on it with a 3-0 win over Cambridge. But let's talk about Newport and Yeovil. Newport 0, Yeovil 6. I would say that nobody in the country predicted this scoreline.
No, you wouldn't have. I mean, Newport have been superb at home. Rodney Parade is never easy to go there. But Yeovil just destroyed them, didn't they? And they destroyed them, I think, because they're playing with confidence. And when you've been behind for 1 minute in the entire season. And that's still the case. I've used that stat on this pod before. It still stands. They've been behind for 1 minute. It gives you a spring in your step. And they've got some really quick players, haven't they? They're really, really lining up front. I think Jordan Green has been he's on fire at the moment for them. So no, it's onwards and upwards. Darren Way has struck on a good formula at Yeovil. They've got the potential, I think, to stick around at the top.
I mean, they're six games unbeaten, so I don't think it was... look, the result, yes, what is it, the biggest in League 2 for, I don't know, about 7 years. So I don't think anyone saw it coming. But in terms of their form, Yeovil, I think, you know, you wouldn't put it past them maybe getting an away victory, but 6-0, that was a big score.
Can a result like that really, really, you know, take the wind out of your sails? If
I don't think, you know, Flynn will be too concerned. I think it's just a little bump in the road. What who will be disappointed is that actually they could have gone top if they had got a positive result there. So, you know, but he knows that they're overachieving at the minute. And I think it might be a little bump in the road. They'll get back on it.
On Yeovil, Darren Way, this is such an overlooked factor. His turnover of players at League 2 level is ridiculous. And especially at places like Yeovil where they don't have much money. I did look at their last game of last season and the players that started in this one, only three survivors. So he's revamped his team, started again. So for them to go to a really difficult away ground and literally obliterate them with a new team so early in the campaign, very impressed.
All right. Also impressive, Tranmere Rovers with a 2-0 win over Carlisle, whose fortunes haven't got any better in the post-Keith Curl era. Tranmere Rovers, so many teams we see bounce up from non-league and get promoted straight away. Are they in with a chance?
Well, when you've got a striker like James Norwood, top goalscorer in League 2, then you've always got a chance because he's on 7 already. I would hazard a guess, providing he stays fit, he will end on between 20 and 30, which... I think in itself, just his presence alone would put them around mid-table. They've just got to make sure that they're tight enough at the back. The goalkeeper was the hero of the hour here, wasn't he? He saved the penalty at 0-0, I think, with only 15 minutes left to play. And then Tranmere went on and scored a couple of goals. And neither of those goals were scored by Norwood. So, no, I think Tranmere, they're not caught the eye as such so far. They've not made too many headlines, but nice and steady, and I think they're doing fine.
All right, Grimsby 0, Oldham 3. Someone on this show was talking up Grimsby the other day and someone was talking down Oldham. I can see your naughty faces, Joe Crilly and Adrian Clark. Well, Clarky, let's go with Oldham first of all. You said they were not very good. Turns out they're all right.
Well, I saw them towards the end of last season and they were atrocious with a capital A. And I looked at the defence, they're full of kids. I just thought, this team, if they don't improve, they're going to be near the bottom, not of League 2. And this was a League 1 fixture I saw them in. But no, they recruited well. I think that Frankie Bunn deserves credit for recognising the need for experienced players. He brought in a number of players, a couple of which were in their 30s. And he also signed Sam Surridge, mustn't say Sturridge, Sam Surridge, on loan from Bournemouth. And he did really well, I thought, for Yeovil last year in a quite a poor Yeovil side, scored 8 goals. That was a smart loan move. And look, he's got a goal every 94 minutes this season. He's given him a bit of pace up top.
Lincoln have a 3-point gap, tighter than you would imagine, 2-1 victory against Macclesfield, still without a win. David, when you're scouting teams, I mean, some teams must be harder to read than others. Lincoln have a lot of kind of characteristic things they do, don't they? And they look like they're in their groove this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a nice balance there, I think, of a bit of experience. The likes of Shackle, Boswick, John Akindi, who I know, he was at Portsmouth and it maybe wasn't quite the right club for him. But look, he will score goals. I think Danny Cowley, he's obviously a very talented manager. I've heard leave no stone unturned, and I'm sure he's going to progress with that Lincoln team. They're getting really good results, and I think when you are, so I saw him in the cup actually at Arsenal. They never sat down. They're always on the sideline, cajoling, trying to think, is there a way? They've got big Matt Reed, so if they do need to change it and go back to how they played last season, maybe not with the pacing behind, but someone who can hold it up, they've got that option off the bench. And he's made really good signings. I'm sure that they will get promoted, Lincoln, this season.
I bet he's glad he didn't take that Ipswich job, because Lincoln are going up. There's no conversation. They may as well promote him now. Notts County, I also thought, might kick on. Not so much. Still very much 92nd in the Football League, but a 3-3 draw and a first point for Harry Kuehl. Clarkey, we know all about Harry Kewell. He wants his teams to play in a certain way. It can take a while, based on what happened last season, to get them going. How long is it going to take here, and how long has he got?
Wow, how long has he got? Is he just in the job? I mean, this is his first home game in officially in charge.
Like,
I know, I do. No, he'll make them better to watch, I think. They were quite an efficient team under Kevin Nolan. Obviously, a good team, a strong team. But no, they'll play better football, more exciting stuff, more expansive. You've got to sort the defence out. I mean, defensively, they have been hopeless, haven't they, so far this season? So he's going to have to work and concentrate on that end of the pitch if they're to climb the table.
What he has got to do, which I think is really difficult, he's got players who are bought in and playing in a style under Kevin Nolan which was very direct. If you saw them in the playoffs against Coventry, for example, they were very back to front, playing off second balls, never played out from the back. They tried to play to their strengths. Obviously they had a front two and four and Stead, who didn't really have legs to get in behind, but get the ball wide, get it in the box, traditional, you know, 4-4-2, to suddenly change, I think it's going to be difficult. And you see the results, lost two, drawn one. I think he's got to be careful with Harry Kewell in terms of, because look, he can't change the squad. He can't bring anyone else in. So, and those players are really well moulded in that Kevin Nolan way of playing. It's going
to
be difficult.
He has got to bore the players senseless. That's what he's got to do on the training pitch. It's drill after drill after drill of defensive work, because when you've conceded, was it 24 goals in 8 games? Then that is diabolical. They've got to be spending mornings and afternoons working on that aspect of the game.
Joe Crilly, sounds like Notts County have got problems. Surely they're down the promotion odds a bit now.
Yeah, for the first time this season, their relegation odds are shorter than their odds for promotion. So they are now 10-1 to go up, which puts them only above Cambridge, Cheltenham, Grimsby, Macclesfield and Morecambe in the promotion betting, whereas they are now 6-1 for relegation. But that is quite a long price, but it's fifth favourites, again, just behind those four that I mentioned before.
38 games left, they're only 11 off the playoffs. That's the optimism in me. Tranmere Rovers for promotion. Could that happen?
I mean, they're not a big price at all. 9-2 for promotion, sitting just outside the playoffs at the moment. I can't see why that isn't a decent bet.
All right. Thank you, Joe Crilly from William Hill. Coming up next, obviously, a huge, huge selection of Tuesday and Wednesday fixtures. But this weekend, Wigan against Bristol City. Wigan not in the greatest of form, Clarkey. Good chance for Bristol City there.
Yeah, especially we spoke earlier on in the show about Bristol City staying in the northwest of England. So they're prepping for this one properly, aren't they, Bristol City? I think this will be a cracker. I really do, because Wigan are bold. They're an enterprising side. They've not come up into the Championship to be a damaged limitation team. They're attacking games, trying to win them. They've had a little setback at the weekend, but no, I see goals in this match. I really do. And well, I don't know if David's seen Wigan in the build-up, but no, I think it'll be entertaining.
Leeds Birmingham after Leeds Millwall. It's another one for the half and half scarf sellers. Birmingham still looking for their first win. I mean, is there a crisis here? They looked all right under Gary Monk last season.
Yes, I mean, I don't think there is a crisis, because despite their results, and I saw them live at Nottingham Forest, and I thought they were excellent. They gave away a 2-goal lead, but to me, he's got a lot of positives. He's got a lot of good players there. I don't think they're far away. I think they're really close to just turning it around. You know, Harley Dean, Jota, Jukovic up top, Magoma. They've got good players. They really have. I don't think they're far away from getting the result that I think they actually merit. They should have won at Forest. They would have better side, and I just think that would have kicked them on.
I'll tell you what, there is absolutely no reason to believe that Birmingham without a victory will beat Leeds without a defeat, and yet that's exactly why I think it will happen. Derby Brentford looks a bit tasty too as well.
Big time.
Clunky?
Yeah, no, Joseph Soon Derby, can we call it that? Probably not. No, it's a really interesting one, and I think it'll be a beautiful match to watch, because Brentford are always glorious in terms of their style, and Derby are trying to play that way. Yeah, fascinating. I think if Brentford can go to that stadium and win in style, then those odds that have made them favourites to win the title will be fully justified.
All right. In League One, we have Bradford. 4 defeats in a row for them, and they've got to go away to Doncaster. We've got Cheltenham against Plymouth. Can Plymouth get their first win at Cheltenham? Yeah, probably not. And elsewhere, Southend face Fleetwood, which may not go too well given the way the season's been thus far. League Two, West Country battle? Does Swindon count as West Country? Can we just about put that in their territory?
Yeah.
Yeovil Swindon, how's that going to go?
Well, you can't back against Yeovil at the moment, can you? I mean, scoring goals, not conceding at all. If Yeovil scored the first goal, history so far this season tells you that they'll go on and take all 3 points.
Lincoln against MK Dons. Will Lincoln's run continue, David Connolly?
Yes, I think it will. I think they're in really good form, got a nice balance, a good mix of youth and experience, and I think that'll be a really good game, actually.
Macclesfield with a chance to get their first win of the season, Clarkie, at fellow strugglers Morecambe.
That was a big ooh, because Macclesfield Morecambe would be my two tips for the drop, actually. They are two clubs that probably are punching above their weight to maybe be in the EFL. Don't know which way I'd go. I'd probably back Morecambe. I've just been really unimpressed by Macclesfield. It's not worked out. If ever a manager leaving was going to affect a team, I always felt it might be John Askey at Macclesfield, and they're just not the same without him.
And finally, Clarkie, can Newport bounce back? They go away to Tranmere Rovers. Can they get over this?
I don't think they will. No, I fancy Tranmere. I think that, I'm not saying the bubble has burst at Newport County, but I do think that Tranmere are a really solid team. And you've got to remember that they went up, and that gave them, I think, a lot of belief. Obviously, they lost one of their main strikers. But no, I see a lot of good things at Tranmere, and I think they'll beat Newport.
All right. Well, we end the show with the terribly sad news that Bolton Wanderers defender Stephen Darby has been forced to retire from football after being diagnosed with motor neurone disease. Obviously, all the thoughts and best wishes of the Totally Football League show with him and his family now. Joe, Stephen Darby's been a fine player. Really awful, isn't it?
It's terrible. It really is. And he perhaps didn't play as much for Bolton Wanderers following his move from Bradford, where he was part of their history makers team in 2013 when they reached the final of the Capital One Cup, I believe it was called at the time. And I think Phil Parkinson says it best in his statement today. He says the Bolton Wanderers fans didn't see the best of him due to limited first team opportunities, but I can assure everyone he made a significant contribution in last year's survival. I think he was a leader off the pitch. He set high standards in training. And so it is incredibly sad. And everybody at Bradford, even Phil Parkinson, who of course was his manager at Bradford, say that he was one of the key factors in the success that they had at Valley Parade. So it is incredibly sad news, yeah.
Well, that's your Totally Football League show, with many thanks to AC, DC, JC, and dear Christ, let's all hope that BC Barker Caroline makes bail for next week. And let's all hope that I will not see you next Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Totally Football League show, a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, email sales@muddyneesmedia.com, and make sure you check out our brand new podcast for this season, the Totally Scottish Football Show with Andrew Slaven. Supporting your team can be a beautiful thing, but then come the injuries, the goal droughts, and the downright disastrous defeats. That's a little bit like life, really, and here at the Totally Football Show, we believe we should all support each other the way we support our team, through the good days and the bad. And that's why we're continuing to work with CALM, the Campaign Against Living Miserably, a charity dedicated to preventing male suicide. On average, 12 men take their own life every day in the UK, so that's your starting 11 and your manager every single day. And part of the problem is that many of us still feel uncomfortable talking about mental health and suicide, and this can often stop men from opening up and getting support when they need it the most. So if you're worried that someone close to you is having a tough time, check in with them and let them know that CALM is there. Every day from 5 p.m. till midnight, CALM provide a free, confidential and anonymous helpline and web chat for any man who needs support. Visit thecalmzone.net to find out more about CALM.